We are thankful this morning. Thankful for so many things. And thankful for the privilege that we have to call you Father. And to be able to approach the heavens at all times and be counted worthy as your sons. Father, this morning in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your covenant in our lives. Thank you, Lord, because even as we come before your presence and your word this morning, there will be a flow of your grace, Lord, from heaven. There will be a flow of your anointing from heaven. Mercy will flow, Lord. Lives will be changed, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I submit myself in your presence this morning. I ask that, Lord, you use me, Lord, to speak a word in season that will transform lives and bring help to the hearers in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. No. I said, praise the Lord. Great one. You are welcome to the presence of the Lord this morning. I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the author of life himself, the one who helps us every day to rise up from sleep, to walk through the day, and to come back in the evening to rest. Thank you, Father, for every good that you have brought our way. We worship and bless you. It's easy to take a lot of things for granted, but when you reflect many times, you'll be grateful for where you are, even now. I believe God has given me a message this morning, a very clear message, one that is life-transforming, one that when you key into it, you'll find grace even for the moment and the season in which we are. I've titled the message, By This Time Tomorrow. By This Time Tomorrow. And I want us to open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I'll read from verse 1 to 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for each house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two sides of the posts, on the upper door posts of the houses. That's the door lintel, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, and they shall roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. Don't soak it in water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, the entrails. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. For it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. I've taken the time this morning to read this part of scripture, because I believe that we are in a similar day and a similar time. This was the children of Israel after 430 years in the land of Egypt. They had been in captivity of sorts because the Pharaoh that knew them and favored Joseph and favored Israel had been long gone. And they had been under the tyranny and the oppression of several pharaohs up until this time. They had become slaves in the land where they were once celebrated. And I love the Old Testament in this sense, and that's where I want us to follow each other. Because today, I see so many similarities in what was happening in Egypt, in what's happening in Nigeria. And I'm going to drive it home in a little while. In Egypt, at this time, you had a tyrannical leader. And you know, the Old Testament is very interesting. It is full of stories, anecdotes, and types and shadows that tell us about the God that we serve. The Old Testament shows us the ways of God, shows us the acts of God, and many times even the thoughts of God. And you see the pattern. And so in this discourse, Egypt was a type of the world, and Pharaoh was a type of Satan. And you see at a point here, God gave direct, clear instructions to the Israelites. You will take a lamb, kill it, roast it, specifics. And what caught my attention the most in this verse is the manner in verse 11. He says, when you have done this in readiness and you're about to eat it, he said, guard your loins with a belt in readiness, because tomorrow I'm about to deliver you. He said, make sure you wear your sandals so that your feet are protected, for the journey ahead is long. Hold in your hands a staff. And as I began to read this, I began to see God in a wonderful dimension. God was giving them instructions to do certain physical things, seemingly so. And at this point, though they were not the best of people, but they had very little choice in this matter, in the sense that the suffering and the oppression was just too much. The suffering and the oppression had become unbearable. And they obeyed God and did as God had told them. And I said to myself, what a wonderful God. God was giving physical instructions in readiness for a supernatural intervention. In readiness for a supernatural intervention. Let me remind you, God had sent Moses to the people. He knew that they would doubt him. And he argued with God. He said, God, but when I see these people, who would they say? He said, tell them that you are from me. Who? I am. I am is my name. When he faced God in the burning bush. Ah, God, they still won't believe me. Okay, throw the rod on your hand. Throw it on the floor. And it became a snake. Hold it back. And it will transform back to a rod. God needed to prepare Moses for the task ahead, even for the people to entertain him at all. And then when he went down into Egypt, he had to face Pharaoh. God had to empower Moses. And the Bible says, God had made Moses like a small god, small g, before Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh was a very terrible man. And because he was terrible, he did so much havoc in the lives of the people of God. And God was interested in delivering his people. I see so many things in Nigeria today that seemingly remind us of the harrowing experiences of Egypt. Is it the oppression on the lives of people? Is it the hardship in the lives of the people, on the citizens? So many things. Hope was gone. They were hopeless people. I used the word fallen. I used to have a history teacher. He would say that was a fallen cry, the hopeless cry of a tiny bird called the titioa. Fallenness. When you cannot just look forward and say, oh, by this time tomorrow, I'll be able to put two and two together and my business will thrive. That was the state of the Israelites. They needed help desperately. Just like in today's Nigeria, we all need help. We look to God. And mark you, at no time in the middle of this tyranny, in the middle of this hardship, did the children of Israel lose their identity. They were still Israelites in Egypt. In the middle of the suffering, they were still in Goshen. Goshen that once bubbled. Goshen that was once a place of clear light and prosperity. They were still there. And they did not lose their identity. And why am I referring to the fact that they had not lost their identity? Sometimes in the middle of suffering, you can think and wonder, am I still who God says I am? How many of us today are wondering, where is our God? You know, I've heard of so many prophecies about this nation, Nigeria. And, you know, Pa Elton gave a famous, you know, prophecy about the fact that things will go so bad in Nigeria at a point. But at a certain point, things will transform in this same nation and transform for good. He said, then people will want to identify with every Nigerian. And everywhere Nigerians go, they want to touch them and say, how are you doing it? I want to identify with your nation and your country as a people. So I'm saying that in this instance, the Israelites had not lost their identity. But they had almost lost hope because God seemed nowhere to be found. But God was not really far. God was with them and God was in them. Just the same way this morning, I can assure each and every one of us that we are in this and God is in it with us. God is working in us both to will and to do of his pleasure. And he will bring us out of these situations in shining armor. He will bring us out of these situations with great, great blessing. And in a moment, I will drive it home by the grace of God. Today, it looks like it's the politicians that are messing things up. It looks like they just say one thing that comes to their head without thinking, without planning, without understanding that there are 220 million people involved in every decision that is taken. But guess what? God will still distinguish his own in the middle of it all. It's not hopeless. It's not over until you win. I said it's not over until you win. Unless you don't believe it and you don't want to grasp onto the truth of God's grace this morning. And I'm going to prove it in a while. The Israelites did not necessarily deserve what they got. They did not necessarily deserve it. As a matter of fact, the Bible records them as a stiff-necked people, often argumentative, often unbelieving. But you see, God knows his own and identifies with them. He's a covenant God. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two people based on certain promises. God made covenant with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ shed his blood even to seal the covenant. Most times, it's blood covenants that hold the sway. In those days, even when it came to the marriage band, they didn't use this band. What they did was usually form a ring around the hand so that the blood of the man and the woman can mingle together. That is covenant. It's binding on both parties. You keep your own side of the agreement, I keep my own side of the agreement. So God never reneges because he's a covenant keeper. And in chapter 6 of this Exodus, something interesting happened. Before I come to the plagues and how God sent his people out, something interesting happened in chapter 6 when the discourse was going on. God told Moses, he said, before now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them knew me as the Almighty God. That was the name of God, the Almighty God. When God appeared to Moses, God introduced himself. He said, I am that I am. There's none greater. There's none that is greater by which I can swear by. I am. That's an absolute. But in this verse, chapter 6 of Exodus, in the middle of this deliverance that was about to take place, because the people could not still get it, God introduced a new name. He said, I am the Lord. He said, my name is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. Because he knew what he was about to do. 10 plagues God visited Egypt with. 10 plagues. They touched on water with the rod of God by Moses, by the hand of Moses, it turned to blood. After that, lice came. After that, flies came. After that, locusts came. After that, there was darkness. After that, the animals died. And each time, the Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. He was more wicked. He said, increase their task. When you look at Nigeria today, you wonder sometimes. Just yesterday, I saw people queuing again. Why are you queuing? They said, fuel is about to change from 580 to 750. I said, for God's sake, when will you stop responding with a knee-jerk response? Even the 580 fuel will finish if it becomes 750. Why are we a people like this? Why can't we just be definitive and understand certain things? But even if the people will respond in that way, I wish that every believer will know his place in God and stop a knee-jerk response. So you bought it at 580 last week, and so it has become 750. Will you no longer buy fuel? You will buy. Will there no longer be provision? God will make provision. How? Trust in him. How? He will transform it. Why? He is a covenant-keeping God. He's a covenant keeper. He is not about to abandon his own people. And this was what was happening here. These people were not necessarily the best of people, but God was at work. And in this night, after 9 plagues, the 10th terrible one was about to happen. And I said to God, but Baba God, why all this drama? Blood, water, this, then this. Back on Jeki and Israelites, our Egyptians, Kokon Sunni, a blow supernatural villain. Imagine if God just did it. You just get all the Egypt to sleep in their own quarters, and Goshen will be awake. And then they will go into their houses, take all the gold, take everything, and walk away. By the time the Egyptians wake up, they will have crossed the Red Sea. How is that? Does that not sound like a good one? No, tell me now. It's easy now. Is it not Baba God? He will just make them sleep. Pharaoh will be the one that will sleep the most. Pharaoh, Omar Horuni. He'll be snoring. You know, and I thought to myself, why did God not do it? You know what? God told me very clearly, and please listen to me, that I am a God of process. I am a God of process. The process might not be palatable. The process might not be easy on the flesh. But guess what? If we toe the line and understand that there is a timing in him where God is working out his purpose in each and every life. You see, God delivered Israel corporately. We are corporately gathered here. We have prayed this morning. God will take each person in this place and give you a testimony. I said, God will take each and every one of us and give us a testimony. You see, I've been in church, sometimes quiet, sometimes listening, and I've seen that God is moving in so many people's situations. It might seem few for now, but you know the truth? God is on your matter too. God is on your matter too. And it's just a matter of moments before God shows up fully in your affairs. You know, I like the fact that something showed up. These people, they got dressed for the 10th one. How did they know that that would be the final one? They have seen 9 plagues. Or you think they didn't know when all those things were? They knew. They have seen 9 plagues. The 10th one too. They wouldn't know whether it was now the final one or God was still going to bring something and then. But one truth about it is that God, and that's the insight here, God kept telling Moses the next thing that was about to happen. We might not have that privilege now. Moses was a type of Jesus. He was a deliverer for the people of Israel in that hour and in that time. And God showed himself by revelation. But you know, when Jesus was leaving, he said, it is expedient that I leave. He said, because if I don't leave, the Comforter will not come. He said, but it's better for you. And when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit, he will reveal all things to you. And he will show all truth to you. So in the place of the fact that God was able to just speak to Moses and tell him, okay, tomorrow, this is what I'll do tomorrow. I'll do, the Holy Ghost is there for us. If only we key in absolutes and keenly listen to him in patience as the process unfolds. I said it's a process. There's no automation in God. God is not a kalokalo man. No, it's a process. In that process, it is good also to hear God and key in by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. And in this instance, God has said, this is the final one, and you will march out of Egypt and go to the promised land. This is the final one, and you will march out and go to the promised land. God was telling them, by this time tomorrow, you'll be on your way out of town. And gleefully, I'll have delivered you from the hands of your oppressors. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something this morning? Are you flowing in the Spirit? Are you understanding that God is already at work, even now, in every situation and circumstance? There's just a way that God plays it out. I have seen so much of God's grace in my life many times. It's no longer something between my wife and I that when we see a challenge, we then begin to fret and doubt God. Oh, challenges come to everybody. Don't think that, oh, some people will dress up on Sunday morning and they look like they're not part of Nigeria. Hello, everybody is part of Nigeria. Eh? We are all part of the whole unfolding saga. But God is faithful in that he's able to deliver us. He's able to give us a lifting and a helping hand. That's what we all need. And so many times, we've been at such tough points. It looks like, where will the help come from? The last one we went through, I tell you, I was in the one in the middle of it. I was the one doing all the messaging, the texting, the seeing people. So, because, you know, sometimes when you see things face to face, that's when you begin to be like, this Israelite. So they could not see how they would be delivered from that Egypt. Where they're telling them, take straw and turn it to bricks for building. Ah! It's like, take saliva and use it to build this pillar. It's not possible. But that's the kind of tyranny they were under. So when you're in that kind of situation, sometimes what you see can sometimes overpower the promises of God. It would be like, is this thing going to work? Is it going to be possible? So in that situation, I had almost been faint-hearted. And it was just one day left. And my wife was like, no. And he said, Olorun ma se. And he said, Olorun tibo. And he said, no, ni doubt Olorun ma se. And she'll be telling me, and she's not the one doing the typing. Oh, I'm the one doing the typing. And I couldn't see it. I'll confess to you. And I'll confess to her. Are you with me? But God came through. I don't know exactly what moment, what hour, but God came through. If I could give details, but for want of time, I can't give details. God came through using people that even said no before to say yes now. In just 30 minutes, one day, the whole thing started in the morning, by the evening, victory. So I've seen it so many times to be able to understand that when God moves, when God moves, it's not for us to really reason it out. It's for us to just have absolute trust. You know, you can get to a point where, the thing is just so harrowing that you have no choice but to trust. So why don't you willingly Just trust God. Why don't you willingly just give him your all and say, Lord, I put all my faith on the line. I put all my trust in you because you are able to do this. You have done it before. You have done it in Bible days. You shall understand the word of God, understand stories that pertain unto everything that you're going through, and then you begin to see it. Because they need to escape. I mean, those who wanted to escape, it's the same thing now. Everybody wants to jackpot. They wanted to escape from East Egypt and go to the promised land. But guess what? We're in the real life. You will not always know fully what's about to happen. In COVID time, people did business. Some people did prosperous business. It's not as if it's new, but God had timed it for their good. Sometimes Forex is going up. Change it now because you need $500 or $1,000. Change it now. They say it will come down. They say it will come down. You don't know. It has come down before in some past times, but presently it's going up. I think how much is dollar now? Okay, you don't know. You're cocooned. I know. Dollar is 9.59 now to the 9.59 to $1. You understand? And that's an awesome figure to begin to call. But don't look at that. Look at the fact that God is able to make provision. This is the time that some people are going to be making money. Trust me. This is the time that some people are going to have the opportunities open unto them. And God is at work. So when we say, by this time tomorrow, it's because God has done it in Bible times. And God has done it in many lives. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 7, you see the story of Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 7. Let me take it from... Okay. I won't be able to read it because of time. But if you take it from verse 1 in 2 Kings chapter 7, you see the story of how that the Syrians had locked in the children of God. They had besieged the place. There was no more food. When food cannot come in, when they couldn't go to their farms to go and harvest, there was trouble. And they were starving. They were starving to the point in chapter 6 where the king rent his clothes and put on sackcloth. A king in royalty, he tore his clothes. Why did he tear his clothes? One woman came to report another woman. Said, Ekilofun will bring you. Yesterday, we decided that we eat my own son. So we boiled him and we ate him. Now it's his own turn tonight. She's refusing. Tell her, oh, she must keep faith. Smart second woman. Is it that easy? Ayayao. It's not that simple. But when the king had it, he rent his clothes. Said the head of a donkey, head, Ori, Ishewu, was selling for 80 shekels. 80 shekels, just the head. How much would the body now go for? And in this moment, in this time, there was starvation in the land. The same situation that the Egyptians faced was the same situation that the Syrians had used these people for. And then the word of the Lord came unto Elisha, and he went and prophesied and said, by this time tomorrow. It looked far-fetched. It's not possible. There's nothing in the land. Everything is bare. And God said to tell the people, by this time tomorrow. Of course, they must not have generally believed. But there was one very loquacious man there who felt he can just talk because he's the chief of staff to the king. He said, what nonsense is this man talking? You think that all this your Bible talking, Bible believing stuff can work here? Even if they drill hole in the heavens, it cannot happen. Even if they drill hole in heaven, it cannot happen. And the man said unto him, surely you have said it. It will happen, oh, but for you who don't believe it, it will not happen. You know what happened? God moved people who were lepers. Lepers were outcasts. Lepers could not enter into the city of Samaria. They were on the outskirts. They are outside the gates. And God moved them. The lepers said to themselves, if we stay here, we die of hunger. If we go into the city, we cannot enter into our own place. Okay, let's go into the Syrians' place now. Let's just risk it. If we risk it, we get there, maybe we'll get food. They take us prisoner. The worst that can happen is they kill us. I mean, imagine it was that bad. They were willing to die because what is left? What was left at the time? And they went in there, and God had caused the Syrians to run away because they had a noise organized by heaven. Who could tell the day before that that is the way that God will get to do it? It's not sometimes for us to reason out the way. It's not sometimes for us to be able to really understand the fullness of it. It's just enough for us to understand that, see, God is working, that God is kind, that God is merciful, that God will not look at us like this and leave us bereft. He will not. And it's just enough for us to hold on to faith and know that if he had done it before, he would do it again. If he had done it before, he would do it again. That's what testimonies are for. Somebody was in our office and wrote something, and then they started struggling for her in Canada. You know, that's a marvelous one. But you see, it's not isolated. It's not isolated. That is one testimony. Another person came and said, we took space by faith. It was too big. And we wanted to start a tailoring service. And we thought, what will we use to fill it? But they didn't know that God had already filled it ahead of time. You see, the truth is this. Each and every one of us, God will give a testimony. I know that there are some people this morning, they just barely looked at what was in their hands. And it's just barely enough to come to church. But see, Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of God's people. And so they know that there's life in church. And so they came. God will not shame you. God will bring provision for you in the name of Jesus. It's going to be transformation upon transformation, testimony upon testimony on this side of Goshen. God is at work. God, Christ had already indicated it. He said, in this world, you will see tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. What's tribulation? Same thing. Pressure, oppression, stress, adversity. Christ had known that these things at a point, at a time, could happen, would happen because of the nature of the world in which we are. Do you know how much of Russia-Ukraine is affecting Nigeria? Do you know how much of COVID affected Nigeria? And Nigeria not in isolation, many other countries. So what is my own with Russia and Ukraine? Then they say grain cannot come. Or that's the pressure that's coming and the price of oil is going up. Because the price of oil is going up, they are now, you know, the oil that we are importing, the cost is going up, PMS. Because the price of crude oil is going up. And the price of dollar to naira is going up. So many things that are extraneous. We are not the ones that are the cause of it. But the effect is coming down and trickling to so many people. And said, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome. Yoruba's version is one that I love the most. He said, Tujuka. Tujuka. That's the assurance. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be cheerful, my own people. Be rest assured, my own people. Tujuka. Maybe during the week, you remember that word a few times. And you just laugh and just smile while you're walking. People be wondering, what's wrong with this one? In the middle of all of this, the Bible says of Christ, he said, Tujuka. Can somebody say Tujuka? That means smile. Let your face relax. Jesus said it again in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. There is yet a rest for the people of God. We will not always labor like this. And the rest is not the rest of death. It's the rest of the living. We will have rest of mind. We will have peace of mind. In the very land in which so much seems to be awkward, but yet God has chosen to show faithfulness to his people. That is the lot. That is what we will see. That will be the testimony of each and every one of us. It's a process. It will not necessarily happen at the same time. Your testimony and my testimony might not be the same day, but we'll both have testimonies because of the faithfulness of God, because of the righteousness of God. Because if it was left for our righteousness, if God were to count iniquity, who can stand? I keep saying it. When you criticize Christians, you say Christians are this, Christians are hello. None is perfect. Christians are just forgiven, not perfect. So because we are forgiven and we're not perfect, we're a work in progress. But that is just one aspect of it. But are we a favored people? Are we a select people? Do you carry it in you, in that consciousness, that you're a favored person, that you're a select person? Not with pride, so that people don't say, oh, he's a proud person, but with understanding on your inward person that this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. So you go around with a settledness that though it seems challenging for a season, God is about to show up. God is about to transform my situation into a better one. Can somebody look to God this morning and believe God for situations to change around? Can somebody look to God this morning and understand that God is at work? And can somebody look to God this morning and say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, show me your mighty hand of deliverance. And God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. So I want us to rise up this morning with that understanding that by this time tomorrow, tomorrow being figurative, God is at work even to do great and mighty things and works of transformation in each and every life in the name of Jesus. Can I have a louder amen?
Amen.
Can we begin to speak to God this morning? Everybody in his individual situation, and say, Lord, I latch on to this. I hold on to you. I hold on to your covenant. I hold on to your faithfulness. I hold on to your might. You are a mighty God. You are Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. You are the one that can deliver me in this present trouble. You are the one that can deliver me in this present hour. You are the one that can take me from adversity to prosperity. You are the one that can do this for me because I put it right before your altar. That the Lord, the word of God has come unto us to say, indeed, he will do it. Indeed, he will do it. Every mountain shall be made low. Every valley shall be filled. Every crooked road, every crooked path shall be made straight. In the name of Jesus. Who art thou, O mountain? You will become a plain before Zerubbabel. And that is the word of the Lord. Everything that looks like it's insurmountable, every difficulty that looks like it won't go away, every stubbornness that is not of God, Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I uproot by the power and the authority in Christ's name. In the name of Jesus, let help arise for your people. Let help arise from heaven. Let the heavens deliver us, O God, even from this present situation and circumstance. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are blessing your name. We are giving you praise. We are worshiping you because we will yet testify. We'll testify of your goodness in the land of the living. We'll testify of the mighty hand of God because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can ask or think, according to the workings of the mighty power. Even the same power that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead is able to deliver every situation, every circumstance, in the name of Jesus. Look unto us this morning, dear Lord. Look on us with mercy. Look on us with grace. Let there be an outpouring, O God, of your mercy and your grace, O God, even as we abandon ourselves in your presence. And we say, dear Lord, show us mercy. Show us mercy. Show us mercy. We are candidates of mercy. Show us your grace, O God. We may not merit it, but Lord, we receive your mercy. We receive your grace, O God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your holy name. Thank you because your God, your word has gone forth and it will not return void, but it will perform and it will fulfill in every of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let your covenant be experiential. Let it be real in every life in the name of Jesus. Father, everywhere where it is difficult for people, Lord, let there be a soothing. Let there be a soothing. Let the balm of Gilead soothe us in the name of Jesus. Let healing come, O God. Let provision come, O God. Let abundance come, O God. Let help arise. Send men to the rising, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let favor surround us like a shield in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are blessing your name. We worship you this morning. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for this. By this time tomorrow, you will show up for each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our God. We worship and bless your holy name. For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.